if you could build a business in the modern world as big or as small as you want without having to compromise the things that were the most important to you in the very beginning? This is the Wealthy Consultant Talks podcast with Taylor Welch and Mike Walker, as they share with you today their learning lessons from stories and their experiences over the past 10 to 15 years and share with you right here, right now. Let's get into it.
Good day, good morning, good evening, wherever you find yourself, my friends. This is Mike Walker. I'm with my buddy Taylor Welch. And this, of course, is another episode of TWC Talks podcast. Excited to be on with you guys. We're talking about something that is scary. It's scary for a lot of people. It's because they don't know what they don't know. And it's something that we just spent quite a bit of time talking about. Taylor just got back myself from Nashville there visiting with everybody. And we had a great time with our chamber members talking about the topic of the FTC, ethical persuasion and FTC compliance. It got everybody's hairs on the back of their neck standing up. Would you say that was true?
Yeah, we had to do a session at the end just to do like trauma therapy.
Yes, or, man. I know. You came over to me and you said, "Hey, Mike, how's it feeling?" And I said, it's heavy, man. It's heavy. And then you came in and kind of, you know, gave everybody a nice warm hug at the end and said, "Hey, this is how we handle this stuff." And again, it really speaks to the caliber of curriculum that we put inside for chamber members, is that, you know, some people are, I was just telling you before we went live here, man, there's a lot of people putting their businesses and themselves in jeopardy, putting their necks in the noose, if you will, because they don't know what they don't know. And they're saying things that they shouldn't be saying. And that's what we dove into, man.
I think the most frustrating piece about it is not everything is you putting yourself at risk. Sometimes there's just unfortunate circumstances. You get on a radar, someone's paying attention to you for a reason that you don't even know about. Like, and if you don't know what you don't know, then you just get into trouble. And so I can start a little bit. Just I'll tell people kind of like how I got lucky enough to learn these lessons. In hindsight, it was a gift. With us, you know, we ran some quite large organizations, and I was telling people on Friday, I said, you know, like, everyone wants to think like, oh, if you just take care of your customers, you're going to be fine. But that's not actually the rule. That's not how it works. You want to take care of your customers because you want to be a good person. But there is a way to do business and a way that is that you're not allowed to do business, essentially. And so the FTC is the consumer protection division of the government. You know, they protect consumers. They were originally created to kind of protect against monopolies. So this comes through even in the Roosevelt era of like protecting, you know, people from John Rockefeller and like giant, you know, JP Morgan.
Good intentions.
Great intentions. And they bridged out from that. And the important thing to realize is that, you know, they're, for all intents and purposes, like, they probably do more good than bad because they're keeping the market cleaner. What happened with me, though, is there was someone in our groups that was selling a MLM program. So he would message people and he would say, "Hey, we have a guaranteed job offer for you. We work with, you know, Sales Mentor." And they say, "Okay, cool. What is it?" He's like, "It's 5K. It's a guaranteed job, blah, blah, blah." We had no affiliation with this person. We didn't even know it was happening. So they would send, I think, five grand to buy this guaranteed placement offer. And then they say, "Okay, here's how you make money. Go back to the group and sell other people this 5K placement offer, guaranteed." And as you can imagine, that's a bit of a cluster. That's a catastrophe.
Yeah, and to not know that that's happening below the scenes must have been wild when you found out.
Yeah, we started getting support requests and emails about a program that people had purchased. They wanted a refund on, but the problem is it wasn't our program.
Yeah.
And we didn't collect the money. So, you know, at first it was like, "Hey, you must be confused. Like, that's not our program." And then they're like, no, "Here's the screenshot of your salesperson." We're like, "Well, that's not a salesperson of ours. They're not on payroll. They were never hired. We don't have any contracts for them." So it got kind of like, "Oh no, like this is bad. But the market didn't delineate between, like, when the market complained about it, they just complained against the company. And it took us 6-7 months to figure out like how this was happening, remove the people, get people kind of situated. And then lo and behold, one day we got a letter from the consumer protection agency and they said, we want to know all of these things. And by the way, we want to know who these people are. And those people were not staff of ours. They were part of this other MLM organization. So at first I was like, you know, this is going to be easy. We just have to prove that we're not affiliated with this other person.
Yeah. You didn't do wrong. You're just doing your thing.
It's common sense. That would make a lot of sense. And we spent a lot of money proving that we weren't this person. And they said, that's great. But you know, send us everything else too. Because now that you're on the radar, we want to see it all. And this is where I learned that it doesn't necessarily matter. Like doing the right thing is the right thing, period, whether it protects you or doesn't protect you. But this is when I learned that there is a way that you're supposed to run your organization, and then there's a way you're not allowed to. And that I had to learn this by going through the FTC situation and just systemically proving every single thing I'd ever said, any marketing team had ever said. And you start learning these things that nobody talks about. Net impressions, the biggest one. So people need to know right now that like you are held accountable, not for what you say or don't say, but for the impression that it gives your market. And everyone, when you say this, they're like, no way. That's impossible. I'm like, yes way. Ask me how I know, because there's a fee associated with doing it wrong. And it doesn't matter if you give refunds. It doesn't matter if you take care of clients. It does not matter. What matters is, are you giving an impression to the market that is not 100% factually at all times true? And so then you take that downstream and you start realizing, okay, well, if you have a great client, let's say if you have a client who followed through, they had all of the necessary ingredients and they got to the outcome, and you start blaring that case study in paid ads, you're actually advertising an outlier, not the average. And so then you're in trouble with net impression, because it's a claim that's not. And so when they asked us at one point, they, this is, you know, a year and a half ago at this point, but when they said, how can you prove that every customer you've ever had makes the amount of money that your case study makes? And we were like, we can't. That's not how case studies work. Don't you understand? Like, this is marketing, you know? Like, cool. Well, that's not legal, because if you can't prove that every customer has the same results, there's got to be massive disclaimers involved. There's got to be, technically, they don't really want you to do it at all. But if you do, you have to make it very painfully obvious that the likelihood of you experiencing this is very low, because this is a case study. And so that playbook, you know, is, I don't know what the event was, 6 or 7 hours of content of just reworking how people do marketing, how they think about marketing, and trying to educate people so that one day they don't wake up and realize they've built an empire on a faulty foundation that is then going to just be undone. You know?
Yeah.
So what stood out to you about that day? Cause that was the first time, like, you've probably been inundated with a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much, man, so much. Some of my biggest takeaways were, what you just described, you know, the net impression, the fact that there's things that you can be called out for that are between the lines. You didn't even say it, but it was the intent behind it. Or like you said, if your imagery is showing you standing in front of a large house or in front of the car or whatnot, you know, just the nature of what you are associating with can make you stand out. I know what caught a lot of people off guard was the need to watch what they're using for testimonials and how every single thing that they have. I mean, so how many businesses, how many landing pages are leaning real hard on those testimonials? You know, and they are probably even real testimonials, but if you can't validate every single one of those and then have that be, to your point, the average, that this is what everybody should be able to expect to find or see or get, was pretty chilling for a lot of people. Like I said, at the top here, you know, there's some hair stand up on the necks of people, and you could tell everyone started getting real shifty, but you guys did a great job of helping people pull through. And then again, at the end there, speaking through to the fear element and some of the things that they could actually do to guard themselves, I think was massive. Everybody had, you could just see a collective sigh of relief at the end of the day when you kind of brought them back down to, hey, look, you know, you wouldn't even trade this experience. And I thought that's kind of where I wanted to like guide us here on this conversation, because I know a lot of people, if they follow you in particular, and obviously the brand, they would have been aware of the FTC thing by now. But it was really how you artfully handled that psychologically, emotionally with the team. There's so much going on there that a lot of people didn't even know it was going on while you're going through it. And I think that's the true testament of like leadership, number one, and your ability to maintain a certain frequency and state despite what's going on around you. And so not operating in fear. These were, I know I'm going like kind of real holistic here, but that to me, that was the biggest thing. The biggest takeaway was how we were able to literally build the initial startup here of TWC despite all these things happening in the background.
Yeah, I think that's because we have a good team and the model's good. And there's a lot of reasons for that. It's not just me. When you look into how our model's built, we're actually just, we're really studying how do you take a consulting brand or a training brand and how do you model the pillars of enterprise SaaS and, you know, the big five firms, and how do you look at the retention element? So I was telling a client yesterday, like, said I'll never ever build an eight-figure brand again off of acquisition. Never. Not confused by it, but they didn't totally agree. You could sort of tell there was some hesitancy there. I said the only way I'll ever build to eight or nine figures again is through retention, because there's so much volatility in acquisition. And that's an interesting point we can go off. But I think the landing place for this is, you know, I didn't talk about this Friday, but I study spiritual philosophies and texts, and I'm very public about, you know, my faith, and people sometimes enjoy that and sometimes they don't. But I'll tell you that there's a framework in a philosophy called Kabbalah. And Kabbalah is like the Jewish study of ancient Torah, ancient texts. And so if somebody's listening to this, they're like a Christian, then you probably relate with this. If you're not, there's still gold here. So lock in. But this idea of being falsely accused, when you are falsely accused and you handle it well, you don't get nasty and defensive and crazy. Spiritually speaking, there's a spiritual rule that false accusation has a way of purifying negative energy from a person's soul and from a person's thinking. And I think what you see with the FTC, and you see some people go through something where it's like, maybe it doesn't feel fair. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel, because even with us, like at the end, they basically were like, okay, yeah, well, you know, you didn't do anything wrong. You don't have to admit to anything, but we still need fines. And I was like, what? That doesn't make any sense. But okay, yeah. Like just to get it to go away, let's go. Let's finish it. But when you are falsely accused and you handle it with the position of grace and understanding, you realize that nothing can really kill you unless you want it to. The things that we let take us out of the game are things that they're choices. We're choosing to stop playing. We're choosing to crater to lower levels of energy and lower forms of power. And so I just tried to remind myself often during that season, because it was a bear. It was a tough season. I tried to remind myself that, you know, the more that I can just kind of submit to this process and allow, like, whatever they're going to say, they're going to say, like, reputation be damned, who cares? Mm-hmm. Then everything's be good for me on the other side. And that's what happened. Like, in all senses of what I'm about to say, this is true. When the thing settled and we moved on, it really did not make our reputation worse at all. In fact, it made it a lot better, a lot stronger. It's in a sense, this is what God loves to do. God loves to backfire the things that come against you to make them actually better. And so what you believe doesn't matter in regards to like who you call God, but this is a spiritual rule that things that hurt us instruct us, and they oftentimes make us better. So I just challenge people to get as smart as you can on the front end, because if I would have been smarter 4 years ago, then I would have been able to kind of like leapfrog some of it. Because now the way we're building this firm and the way we're building our other brands, there would be no investigation ever. It's just so far above even the appearance of that world that we'll leapfrog it. So we're pretty indemnified in terms of like moving forward. But I think our clients get the access and they get the benefit of, instead of you paying $1 million to learn this, you know, just learn it from our playbook and implement it. But the devil is in the details and people don't want to implement it. Everyone I've really talked to about it, they're like, well, that's just it's such a small percentage of it happening to you. But if you want to be able to sleep at night and know you're growing a great organization, take it seriously. You know, hop in and go through it and get your marketing team up to speed on it. And we've got all these checklists and things like that. It's a really good product offering. So I'll end there.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you asked me what stood out to you. I'd say one of the statements that really was a strong takeaway for me too, was being audit ready, you know, within hours. Like if we ever did show back up on a radar, we'd be like, sure, here you go. And it's because we've created protocols and systems in everything that we do in-house now to, like you said, fortify ourselves. You know, I call it kind of that David and Goliath story. You're not going to beat Goliath on brute strength. It's going to be because of your savvy and your ability to weaponize what you have and the tools that you have. And so we've done that through systems and processes, SOPs, et cetera. And so, like you said, these are things you can either learn the hard way or you can learn from somebody who's already been there and done that. And obviously, that was the biggest takeaway last weekend for everybody was realizing, okay, I know what to do now and what not to do, probably most importantly. So it was a big one, man. It was a big one. I know it's not always a fun topic. And I think that's, I'll end on this. The big thing last weekend was it wasn't something like, oh, we're going to go make more money or we're going to scale our business or any of the other sexy, you know, things that people would be going for in an event. But this is something that you have to have on like locked in. You cannot grow a business and just fingers crossed, hope that you don't get hit with something like this with FTC. It's no joke. I know you and the entire team here definitely wore it and for a while to get through it, and we're finally through it. And but it's made you better. And to your point, you said you wouldn't even give it away, which I was like, wow, really? Okay. Like you wouldn't take it back if you could. And I think that just goes to show.
I'd take the money back. In a heartbeat. But the experience is good
point,
priceless.
Good point.
You can't get it anywhere
else. Take the money back. I love it. Awesome, man. Well, awesome, guys. Hey, look, if you're not familiar with FTC, if you don't know if you are completely dialed in or not, this is a topic you should definitely talk to one of our team about. It's something that we've put quite a lot of focus around, as you can tell. And we want to make sure that those that are, you know, locked arms with us, whether it be in Launch Kit and Chamber, they understand the complexities and the nuances of how to build a business with ethics and make sure that the marketing that you're using doesn't get you in trouble down the road, whether it be tomorrow or 2 years from now. So
love it.
Anything cool you want to take us home with, Taylor?
No, we're good. Have a great week.
All right, guys. Love you guys. See you next episode.